Can we put our hands together and appreciate the choir? Thank you. Every Sunday, they're here ministering to us. That takes some of their time, some efforts, some commitments. We appreciate you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we come to your word this afternoon. Thank you, because the entrance of your word gives light. We ask that you will unfold the truth of your word to us this afternoon. You cause us to hear, not only with our physical ears, but with the heart today. We receive your word today, being planted in our hearts, and we ask the Lord, you cause us to bring forth the harvest in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, our Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good afternoon, everyone. How are you doing? Can I see somebody smile? Hallelujah. Somebody still do like this. Okay, let me tap your neighbor. Smile, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. And can you tell him or her to smile? I love you too. You are my brother, you are my sister. You didn't believe that. Praise God. They just sang to us, I'm glad that God loves me. Or what was your song? About the love of God. Huh? Thank you for being God. I thought I heard something about love too. Uh-huh. You love me and all of that. Praise God. Wow, you know, that's so fitting with what I have to share with you. We sing so much about the love of God. We sing so much about God being a good father, being loving. And that's fine. That's the truth. God is loving. He's a good God. Hallelujah. If you doubt that, see me after the service, and I will tell you that I'm a specimen of someone. I'm a specimen of God's goodness, God's love. I've experienced that, God's goodness, God's love. And you too, if you want to be truthful, it may not be as much as my own experience, but in your own little way, you have seen God one way or the other. You have experienced his love. Bible says, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he didn't give the begotten son, he didn't give Jesus for the church. He gave it to the whole world, to everybody. It's an open gift to everybody, wherever, under the sun. So we talk so much about that. We know that. That's fine. But there's something that we also must accompany that for us as followers of Christ. If this is missing, then we are likely to make useless of the first. Give us Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start from there. Ephesians chapter 5. We will talk about this for some time. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 1 from Message Bible. Okay, this one says, King James says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. What does it mean to imitate? Huh? To mimic. To do like the person that that means you have a model. You want to be like that person. It says, be imitators of God as dear children. Give it to us in Message Bible. And I want you to see this. It says, watch what God does. And then you do it. That's an instruction. It's not a suggestion. It says, watch what God does. And then you do it. Say, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. What should we do? Verse 2. Mostly what God does is love you. That's what we sing about. That's what we talk about. That's the essence of our gathering. Because of God's love. His goodness is out of love. His kindness is out of love. Your intelligence is out of God's love. God prospering you and making a way for you is out of his love. You pray, he answers, it's out of his love. That's what he does. He said, mostly what God does. He's not an angry God. He's not an angry God. He's not an evil God. He's not a killer. He's not a taker. He said, mostly what he does is love you. But that's like one leg in Christianity. That's like one side of the coin in Christianity, in New Testament Christianity. And that's, this other side has not been so much emphasized. And that's why we're having a lot of problems, even among us as Christians. A lot of problems in the home, in the church. And that is getting into the world. It says, keep company with him and learn a life of love. That's the other side of it. I can talk about the goodness of God, the love of God for me, blah, 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 sing about it, dance around it, but that's half-truth. If you're going to have a good life, live a balanced life that God will be proud of, you must learn to do this. Say, keep company with him and learn a life of love. Everybody say, learn a life of love. He said, learn a life of love. That means we have to reprogram ourselves because it was not part and parcel of our lives before we came to Christ. It's something that we have to learn. Something we have to take instructions on, lessons on, for us to be able to do this other side of the coin. Which brings balance. Which brings progress. Which helps us to mature. And really become like God the Father. Says, keep company with him and learn a life of love. If you're going to have a great future, have a great marriage, have wonderful children, this is the key to it. If God will be so pleased with you, this is the key to it. Learning the life of love. And it starts now. It starts now. Now, where you are, where God has placed you. In your family, in the church, in your department, where you are, that's where it starts. It says, keep company with God and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. That's what God is. This is not a popular message. Right? I'm not coming here shouting and telling you how you're going to prosper, you're going to make your first $1 million, blah, 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 blah. Well, you have been coming here and you know we'll tell you the truth. And not just the truth, but the truth that you need to know that will help you. It says, observe how Christ loved us. And that's what he wants you to learn. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. That's the instruction. That's the way God wants us to love. The whole epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, was written by a man that walked with Jesus physically here on earth. You know, sometimes ago we studied the book of James and we looked at James was a physical brother, biological brother of the Lord Jesus. But John was not a biological brother, but he was someone that walked with Jesus. Give us 1 John chapter 1. First book, the book of Epistle of John. 1 John chapter 1. Look at what John has to say. We'll come back to Ephesians 5 if the Lord permits us. epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This was Apostle John talking. It says, what we have handled, what we have seen, what we have heard concerning the word of life. That's what he was trying to get across to the people at that time. And that's the same thing he wants to get across to you and I. This man saw Jesus, walked with Jesus, experienced Jesus. As a matter of fact, this man was referred to as the beloved. Somebody that he was the closest to Jesus. How many of you remember the story of before Christ went to the cross of Calvary and they had Lord's Supper and he was talking about going to the cross, how he was going to suffer, what was going to happen to him, how somebody was going to betray him. And everybody was like, is it me, is it me, is it me? It was this John that they tapped, said, John, we know it's your paddy. Help us ask. And you know, John asked Jesus, and Jesus told him the answer. He said, the one to which if I give him this bread that dips into the, that's the one I'm talking about. That same John, when they deserted Peter, went fishing and everything, that same John was there. So he was talking from first-hand experience. To me, such people, we need to listen to them. If I ask you now, how many of you would like to see Jesus walk here, come and visit you physically? How many of you? Be honest. That Jesus could just appear into your house. But be careful. If Jesus appears into your house, it's not a small thing, though. If you read the account of people who have seen Jesus, for days, you won't be yourself. Your house may likely shake. Because when Christ comes, and sometimes, even comes as simple as from some other experiences that I've had. You'll just see lights walking. No shaking, nothing, nothing, nothing. Just walks in. But you can't choose, you can't pray that. Go and start praying, Jesus appear to me. Mm-mm. You don't need that. You don't need that. If he wants to appear to you, he will appear to you. But whether he's appearing to me physically or not, he has given us his word. And we have this kind of word coming from somebody that he had appeared to. Not just only appeared, that walked with him. And this John said so much about the love of God, about how God wants us to imitate God, in the area of these commandments. Look at the second chapter of this same letter, chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, look at verse 5. First John. He says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. And he started talking about this love of God. But he says something in verse 3. He said, now by this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments. If we keep what? If we keep what? I want you to respond. If we keep his what? His commandments. There's tendency for us to think that under the new covenant, the new testament, no commandments. We are free people. Moses, the law, the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses and everything, they had gone. We are free in Christ Jesus. Yes, we are free in Christ Jesus. But there are still commandments that God wants you and I to keep. I talk about imitating God that we read in Ephesians chapter 5. But that imitating God is not something that you choose to do or not. It's not something that, oh, some people can imitate God in this area. Some of us may not. No. From the mouth of John, the apostle, he makes us understand that walking in love is a commandment. Living a life of love, learning to love like God the Father, is a commandment. Not just something that, okay, imitate. I don't like that one, that aspect of God. It's God that can. No. It's more than just what you like or what you don't like. It's more than what you feel or think is acceptable or possible. But to begin to see it as a commandment. A commandment. Look at verse 7 of this same chapter. It says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning." The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. It says, "I write no new commandments." That is, what he was talking about was not something that is new. Like what I'm talking about to you, what I'm sharing today is not something that's supposed to be new to us. Because that's the very essence of Christianity. That's the foundation. Like I said earlier, one side of it is God so loves you, you are so valuable to God. And the other side is God wants you to also love. So he said, from the beginning, that is the beginning of Christianity, the beginning of the new covenant that was initiated and consummated by the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross of Calvary to fulfill one side of that covenant, which is to shed his blood because of the love of God for us. The other side, Jesus Christ put down and said to his disciples right before he died. In John 13, I told you Apostle John was there. So it was the one that wrote the book of John and wrote this epistle. In the book of John 13, look at verse 34. Not the epistle now, John. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Let's create the scenario. Can you try to imagine? Jesus Christ was not among the multitudes when he was saying this. It wasn't an open crusade where crowds were trooping around him. This was in a house where they had gathered to eat the Lord's Supper. And he started telling them, if you read chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, 16, these were the last words of Jesus Christ before he went to the cross. This was just between him and the 12 before Judas left to bring in the, people that captured Jesus Christ. So it was Jesus pouring out his heart and telling them the things that really mattered. The things that really mattered in the kingdom. For how many weeks now we've been talking about the last words of Jesus, looking at John 13, John 14, and it's taking like forever, because these are profound words that each and every one of us we need to give attention to. So in the midst of telling them so many things, he's got to this. I said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." When he was saying one another, he was referring to James, John, Matthew, Andrew, Peter. They were all together. And I could imagine Jesus Christ looking at them. "I'm giving you that you love one another. One another. That is your fellow brother, your fellow sister," in our context now. Then they were all just male. All followers of him, his disciples, who had devoted their lives to following Jesus Christ. He said, "Love one another." And he says this, "As I have loved you." As I have loved you. So it's a new thing entirely. Is somebody following me this afternoon? It was a new thing entirely. He says, as I have loved you. Not the way you have known love before now. Not the way you have seen love practiced before now. Not the way you have interpreted love before now. When I mention the word love, by the reason of what you have heard before today, what you have known, what you have experienced, you can put your own meaning to that love. And that's why Jesus Christ didn't say, love one another, and he put a full stop. No, he was very specific and direct about the kind of love he wanted them to practice. It was very specific. Nothing ambiguous about it. It was direct. He says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And that's a commandment. That's a commandment. That's a rule. That's a principle. That's something that you have to do. So the better, if you want to keep company and keep company with the Lord Jesus all your lifetime and to your future, start now. Start now. Start now. Because that's the way to the future. That's the way to the future. With the Father God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. And how did he love us? How did he love us? If you go back to Ephesians chapter 5, the second or third verse, still in Message Bible. Let's take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 5. He says, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. He says, as I have loved you. He says, observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious. What does that mean? You know, some people, when they talk about love, they have already programmed how they want to love people. And when I'm talking about people now, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, believers especially, that's the focus. They have already programmed how they want to love. They are very cautious. They're on the edge when it comes to loving people. I don't want to. Very cautious. You don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want anybody to, you know, there's some people who say, I don't relate with some people because I don't want anybody to insult me. So you already put a barrier around yourself. You are cautious. Why? Oh, I can go to church. You know, I can go to church, but I don't want to serve in any church because I don't want to mingle with anybody. I don't want, very cautious. God is delivering you this morning in the name of Jesus. Very cautious. If anybody tries to even approach you or talk to you, you put up your guard. I don't want. Maybe because you have been hurt in time past. Maybe because of somebody disappointed you in time past. Somebody fought with you in time past. You had misunderstanding or your former church, you know, or even this present church where you are serving, oh, blah, blah, blah. So you are very cautious. It is written on your head, invisibly, is beware. Dogs are here. Hello. Have you ever passed across such homes or such compounds? Beware of. What are they trying to tell you? The cautious. Because they are coming after you. Some of us, we have it written. And some people can sense it. Because, you know, they are very formal. Very formal with people. Just not, there's nothing wrong with being formal, but when you are too formal, every T must be crossed, every I must be dotted, there's a way people must approach you, there's a way people must talk to you. so cautious. But it says God's love was extravagant. Extravagant. That is going all the way. See, Yoruba people used to say one word. If you close your eyes, that you want bad person to pass. When a good person or good people are passing, will you see them? Hello? You won't see them. When you are very cautious, when you are, I don't want anybody to hurt me. I don't want this. I don't want that. You are missing out. Says, he didn't love in order to get something from us. What could we have offered Jesus? What can we, even till now, what can we offer for him? Someone said, we should even stop saying, come and give your life to Christ, because your life is nothing. It is come and receive life. The truth is, we come to receive. What are we giving to him? What are we giving to him? There's nothing we can offer. And if there was anything we could offer, Christ did not come because of that. Bible says he was sinless. He became sin. That we that were full of sin could become righteous. He came to offer life. He came to share the life of God with you and I. I would call him the only begotten son. But it was like, I don't want to be the only begotten son. If you have ever seen an only child, they don't enjoy it. You will look at them from outside and say, it's good though, you are the only child of your parents. But go and ask them deep down. They want to share life with somebody. And God was like, Jesus was like, I want to share. And it became the sacrifice to bring you and I to the Father. So he didn't love us in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Remember the commandment said, as I have loved you. So when I'm learning to walk in this love, it's not because of what I want to get from people. That's what happens in the world. You associate with people of like mind because you want to become like them. You want to get connections. There are some societies, some clubs that you join so that you have opportunities. So that they can connect you, that you can network. Fine, good. But when it comes to walking in love amongst ourselves, as believers, I'm not out to get you. I'm not out to get what you want. I mean, what you have. I'm not primarily looking for, okay, I want to be a friend so that I can. That's selfish love. That's not real love. So I'm not going into a relationship because of, you know, today there are all kinds of things being preached. But this is the foundation. Thank God for your needs. He said, I must be loved by my needs. You've read about it. The love language. Love language of a male is different from that of a female. And even from female to female, different love languages. So when I'm out, I'm looking for somebody that can speak my love language. But are you starting with whoever God will bring my way? Will I be able to speak their love language? It's not first about me. It's not about me, about what I want to get. I'm repeating those words so that God will help us to reset our brain, to reset our mindsets. Out there is totally different from what Christ is saying. He says, as I have loved you. They will teach us out there, nothing goes for nothing. If nothing is in it for you, forget it. But Christ is saying, you are not going into that because of what I want to get. I'm not trying to do business with that brother or that sister because I want to take advantage of him or take advantage of her. He says, He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. I want you to begin to look at your life. As a child, so some parents, you're still living in the house, or maybe you are living on your own. When I'm looking at how to love my parents, is it just to get from them? When I'm looking at a fellow sister, fellow brother, my relationship with them, is it just because of what I want to get? Excuse me. Is it because of what I want to get? Or I'm looking for how to give my time, how to help with my talents, how to be a blessing and not a burden. That's a mentality. And this, your flesh will fight. Hello. I said this, your flesh will fight. Your flesh will fight it. Because it is contrary to what the flesh wants, what the culture permits, what the culture is dictating. It's contrary. Contrary, totally contrary. Going out of your way to be a blessing, to do something good, is totally contrary to what the flesh permits or will allow, what the world around us wants us to understand. It's totally contrary. But you're going to ask yourself, am I a follower of the world there? Am I a follower of tradition? Am I a follower of men and women? Or am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Because at the end of the day, nobody will give account of my life for me. I have to stand before Jesus and give account of my life. And you know what? He's going to ask you, how did you keep my commandments? You know that the Old Testament, if you look at Deuteronomy 28, I use that as a reference. But all over Old Testament, there was no way you could access the blessing of God without keeping the commandments. There was no way you could access God. And no wonder we are praying today, we are not seeing so much. I'm talking about Christian world generally. We are not seeing so much. Why? Because we are not keeping his commandments. We are not keeping his commandments. Yes, we are not keeping, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But this is the only commandment that Christ gave us under the New Testament. And this only one, we are not keeping. And if you don't keep it, there's no way we're going to see the blessing of God. There's no way we're going to see the blessing of God. So, give us Deuteronomy chapter 28 so for you to see what I'm talking about. Under the Old Testament, there was no way. With the love of God for the children of Israel, God chose them, called them, diverse signs and wonders, miracles happened. But they stopped following God. They stopped following what God said. The commandment that God gave to them, they stopped doing those things. Rather than following God, they started going after the gods of the nations around them. Oh, the Ammonites, the Hivites, the Hittites. They started imbibing their culture, their tradition, and carrying their gods. And they could not. He said, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. He promised them to the extent that if you follow me, your children's children will inherit this land. Your children's children will be so prosperous if you follow me. And the same promise stands today. The only way you can guarantee your future is by following the commandments of Jesus Christ. If you want to continue with the Lord Jesus and have a future with him, that's the only way. There's no other way. Anybody, it doesn't matter who is praying for you on the mountain. Oh, my mommy will pray for me. It doesn't matter how I'm living my life. You're just deceiving yourself. Oh, somebody is saying prophecy to me. Somebody is prophesying and see visions and revelations. You can't go too far. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are following Jesus, this is the commandment. It says, I'm not writing anything new, but the old one. And that's the old one from the mouth of Jesus. Go back to John 13. We're going to be talking about this for some time to come, but let's take a look at John 13 and read the next verse. 34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. If somebody asks you, oh, you are now under New Testament, we don't have any do's and don'ts, but fine, we don't have the Ten Commandments of Moses. But do you know that everything Moses said is fulfilled in this one law? Even if you want to, if you look at the Ten Commandments and all the commandments under the Old Testament, you'll find that this just one that Christ has given to us covers everything. It covers everything. It's like everything packed together and dropped inside this commandment to love. It says, by this, verse 35, all we know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It says, by this, by you carrying out these commandments, what will happen? It says, all we know that you are my disciples, that you are my disciple, that you belong to me, that you are a learner. If you have love for one another, love for one another, that means the way I treat a fellow sister, the way I treat a fellow brother, shows to the world without Jesus Christ, that I know there's something different about them. There's something good, different about these people. But today, what do we have? It's the opposite. We treat ourselves as if we don't matter. You date this one, date that one, date that one. And unbelievers are watching us. We are doing exactly what they are doing. We do shoddy jobs for ourselves. Why? Because we don't value ourselves. We don't value the commandments of Jesus Christ. And we wonder how things will turn out. We will not have the blessing of God. We will not be able to make progress in this journey with the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't keep these commandments. And you will be becoming a bad example, a bad model for the world around you. Have you ever seen anybody say, that person? And somebody mentioned a couple of months ago, he said, thank God that I had given my life to Christ before I met that person. You know, there are some believers who will not. Say, I can't. Why? Because the person is not walking in the commandments. In the commandments. They're not walking according to the commandments. It shouldn't be that I carry a big Bible. Oh, I have a sonorous voice. Oh, I can do this, I can do that. That shouldn't be what would make me to stand out. He said, by this, all we know. How? By you walking in love. By you walking in what? In love. And the first time Jesus Christ was going to talk about this walking in love was in Matthew chapter 5. I ran up with this. We'll take it up next time. But God is going to help us. God is building you and I, new generations of believers, will be committed to the commandments of Jesus Christ. To the commandments of Jesus Christ. Of walking in love. It's not easy. I must tell you. It's not easy. But it's doable. It's not easy. It's doable. And in how many years of following Jesus Christ, I am so glad that I got to know about this right from the onset. Right from the onset. In fact, it was as if I got saved and I was positioned, somebody was positioned around me to teach me how to walk in love. Who was also a fellow believer, was positioned to help me to know what walking in love is all about. To be able to practice these commandments. So God is raising you and I. I told you it is not easy, but it's doable. It is not popular. It's not too popular. But then, that's the main thing. And one of the things that you should know now, when majority are doing something, be very careful. When majority are following a particular pathway, a particular doctrine, a particular mindset, watch out. As a child of God, what Christ is saying, because Christ said, narrow is the way. Narrow, is hard, but it leads to life. But the other one is so wide, anybody can get into it, but it winds down into destruction. So you have to make your choice now. So when Christ came on the scene, the first time he was going to talk about love, before he gave to them as a commandment, he came on the scene and was talking with authority. And he said this in Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 43. It says, you have heard that it was said. What have you heard? We are hearing all sorts of things now. All sorts of people are saying all sorts of things. But it says, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. How many of you, that's your philosophy for life? I know you not put up your hand. I love those who love me. And anybody that does not like me, he's tit for tat. Don't sound holy now. Don't look holy now. How many of you, you love those who love you? I'm asking a question. How many of you, you love those who love you? Fine. You love those who love you now. You should love those who love you. How many of you, you hate those who hate you? Thank you for being honest. How many of you, you don't like those who don't like you? You hate them. It's natural. We are being honest. It's natural that, it has to be something much more coming out of you. So love those who hate you. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's much more that you need to do that. Bible says in Romans chapter 5, look at verse 5. Romans 5, 5. And that's what you must believe about yourself. Romans 5, 5. We'll come back to Matthew chapter 5. He said, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When you gave your life to Christ, Holy Spirit came to live in your heart. And Holy Spirit came with love of God into your heart. So there's something that is in your heart that is beyond yourself. It is the love of the Father. And that you must accept and believe that I have the love of God. I have the capacity to love. I'm not limited to my flesh. I'm not limited to what I feel or what I don't feel. I'm not limited to just follow this pattern of, oh, you love those who love you. You hate those who hate you. Why? I have the love of God poured out into my heart. I have the capacity to love, because the one that gave you life is called love. So if I have life, I have love, because I have God. How many of you have God? And God is love. So if I have God, I have love. Tell yourself, I have God. Shout it. So I have love. I have God, I have love. I may not fully express it, I may not fully understand it, but the capacity is there. The nature is there. The ability is there. I just need to be schooled right. I just need to learn and practice
and practice and keep practicing, and I keep getting better in this walk, love. Praise God. So don't beat yourself if you feel like, oh, that person, they did something to me. I don't feel like. Yeah, you don't feel like, but then you allow the love of God to flow. Hallelujah. You allow it to influence your decision. That's how to practice it. Oh, that brother, he disappointed me. Blah, blah, blah. That brother, no. I'm not going to. That's natural. Me, when I gave my life to Christ, before I gave my life to Christ, I've told you before, I grew up in Ibadan. I was born in Ibadan. I grew up in Ibadan. If I used to call you and respect you in the neighborhood, the moment you trespass and do some things, I start to call you by your name. That's how terrible I was. If I've been using air for you, calling you brother, this brother, that, or the moment you provide, I lose all respect. And you know, I carried that to marriage several years later. I didn't know it was still there. Where I grew up, there was one word, Toman Lo in Yoruba. I can't remember it now. Ah, old things have really passed away. Clap your hands for Jesus, for me. I can't even remember. But then, if we fight, we will not talk to ourselves. You will tell somebody that will tell somebody that how bad, how terrible, and you tell your friends. And the enemy, my enemy becomes the enemy of my friends. You understand that? Okay, you grew up in GRA and everything was good. All your neighbors were good and calm and everybody, you know. Me, I grew up in such environments. We'll gang up, we'll talk, we will not greet ourselves. You know. And then I got saved. I got born again. And I started hearing the word of God. I said, hearing that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I said, hearing about walking in love, that I cannot keep malice the way I used to keep malice. I cannot do teeth for tat the way I used to do teeth for tat. And honestly, I accepted it. As young as I was, I accepted it. I opened up myself to that. But it was not easy. There were times I would go to my bed and I would cry. And between me and the Father, I said, it's not fair. It's not fair because God was asking me to do things I was already used to. That was a normal thing for me. Somebody offends me. The next day I see you, I won't greet you. Rather than greet you, I'll look at you like this. Just to make you know that. Then God says, you have to let go. You have to forgive. You have to love. I said, no, God, but you know that this is this sister that is wrong. I used to have such conversations. And I still do. I say, is this sister? She's wrong. She shouldn't have. And go, and in my heart, I'm saying, go to her and go and apologize. Walk in love. Forgive and let go. And that's how I started. I will go and say, I'm sorry. I will be walking back to my room and I'll be feeling sorry for myself. And it's like, hey, Kemi, hey, Jesus, they back by ye. But today I'm reaping the benefit of that in many folds. And unfortunately, that particular person that I talked about, she's also reaping her own. Because she refused to change. She took our walking in love for granted. There was a time that she had some issue with some people and the police were involved and all of that. Do you know what she said to, are you here on your phone? You know what she said to those people? If it was Kemi, she would not have done this. She would not have done this. And that's the truth. Because I will still walk in love. So it doesn't matter
who is looking at you now and probably taking you for granted. Christ came on the scene and said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor. And you know what Christ later told them? If you love those who love you, you have not done anything extra. If I'm good to do people who have been good to me, it hasn't taken anything from me. I've not done anything extra. That's just the natural human response. So love those who love you. That's natural human response. But Christian response, proper Christian response, is to love those who don't love you. It says, I say to you, verse 44, Matthew chapter 5. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Is that not contrary? Is that contrary? Is that contrary to what was being practiced around them? That's totally opposite. Don't worry, I'm not going to overload you today. But I want you to begin to see that I have a commandment from the Father. I have a commandment from the Lord Jesus. He's the Savior of my soul. He's the one that went to the cross of Calvary. For me to access His blessing and the fruit of my salvation, I have an obligation to fulfill His commandments. I have an obligation. I was not saved to serve myself and just enjoy the love of God and it's all between. No. God wants me to be an extension of His love. First and foremost to my fellow brothers and sisters. And you know God, why God is so particular about that? Why God is so particular? You have never seen God. But when somebody comes and say, I am also born again, I have the life of God in me, that's a God that you are seeing. That's God in manifestation. Am I making sense this afternoon? Okay, you say you love me. My daughter is not here today. She was here last Sunday. And my daughter comes in. She says, I love Reverend Sudamuso. I love Reverend Mrs. And my daughter comes in. And you want to push her out. You want to maltreat her and tell her, who are you? And you know that she's my daughter. What do you think I would do to you? I'll walk in love with you. But that walking in love, I will defend my daughter. I won't allow you to maltreat my daughter. That's the same way God feels when you maltreat, when you don't walk in love to fellow brothers and sisters. Because the same value He has placed upon you, that's the same value on Him. That's the same value. That's why it is wrong for me as a minister of God to look down on you. It's wrong for not only me, for any minister of God to look down and maltreat church members anyhow. It's a big sin. Some, I will even say it's bigger than adultery. For me as a minister of God to maltreat children of God, God does not take it kindly. So He says, the same value, the same love I have for you, I have for her. I love for her. And so if I understand the value that God has placed upon my life, that God loves me, then He wants that same love extended to fellow Christians, fellow believers in Christ. And God is very particular about that. He said, we have not seen God at any time, but when we see our brothers and sisters, that's God that we are seeing. So He's very particular how we treat ourselves, how we relate with ourselves, what we say behind ourselves. Later on, we're going to go into details about this. But like I said earlier, take it that this is a commandment. This is a law coming from the mouth of Jesus. It's a law that is contrary to what I feel, contrary to popular opinions around me, contrary to what everybody else is doing or saying. But if Jesus
my Lord and Savior says it, then I must respect him in love. I must respect him in love. I must honor him in love enough to do what he says. I round up with this verse. I think it's in John 14. Look at verse 15. John 14, 15. And I close with that. What does it say? How many of you love Jesus? I do. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what's the commandments? Love one another. If you love me, if you love me, that means I express my love to God, my love to Jesus, by loving other people. It's an expression of my love. Why? Because he said so. Lift up your hands and just respond back to God this morning. Thank God for your life. Thank God for the love of God that has been shed abroad in your hearts. Thank God because that love sent Christ to the cross of Calvary because of you. Thank God for that love that washed you, that made you acceptable in the beloved. Thank God for that love. It doesn't matter what you feel or what you think about yourself. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He has accepted you. Thank God for that love. And lift up your hands and say, Father, I receive your word this morning that loving one another is a command. It's a command. It's a command. Whether you're hearing it for the first time or you've been hearing it again and again, ask God to help you. So keep this command, to keep this command, and to keeping this command in the name of Jesus. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. And open up yourself. Say, Father, I make a commitment. I make a commitment that love, this commandment of love, will be what I live by. I want you to pray. Ask God. Tell your Father. Say, Father, help me day by day not to be led by the popular opinions and what every other person is saying around me, but to give attention to your commandments day by day, day by day.
Thank you, Father. We bless you, Father God. Thank you for this moment.